Our lesson for this morning, the Gospel from John, also the basis for our sermon, where we read, "On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, 'Rabbi, when did you come here?' Jesus answered them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal.' Then they said to him, 'What must we do to be doing the works of God?' Jesus answered them, 'This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent.' So they said to him, 'Then what sign do you do, that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?' 'Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat.' Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.' They said to him, 'Sir, give us this bread always.' And Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst.'" This is our gospel lesson. You may be seated. Well, I'd like to begin with a little story this morning. There's this man knew that there was a stop sign at the end of the road, about a half a mile down from his farm, and it had been there for years. I mean, he saw it almost every time he drove through the intersections, and he wondered if this sign was really necessary. I mean, more often than not, there was no traffic coming either from the right or from the left. And so one day, in haste, he drove through the sign without stopping. But this time, a car did enter the intersection from the left, plowing into him at high speed, leaving his car a total wreck and taking his life. You see, when we ignore the signs in our lives, the consequences can be tragic. I mean, just think of all the signs and warning labels that are posted all around us for our welfare. Well, the gospel speaks of signs. Jesus said to the people who came looking for him on the other side of the sea after the feeding of the 5,000, he says, "Truly, truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because I did signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." You see, they wanted to seize Jesus after the miraculous feeding. I mean, he seemed to be their ticket. Their perfect fulfillment of their desires. He could satisfy their hunger. He could free them from Roman control. He could put them on easy street. But Jesus wasn't flattered. "Do not work," he said, "for the food that perishes, but for the food that can lead to eternal life." You see, he was saying, there is another kind of bread, another kind of food. We have a need greater than the need to sustain our earthly existence. Now, you know, that's not to despise our life on earth. I mean, our life is a gift of God, and God generously provides, just as Luther says, food and clothing, home and family, daily work, all I need from day to day. But God has something more in mind for us than this. We are made for eternal life with God. And that life is found in Jesus Christ, in dependence on Him, in feeding on Him. You see, Jesus' sign, or feeding of the 5,000, was a sign of His power and His compassion. But more importantly, it was a sign that pointed to Him as the very breath of life that gives life with God. It is the one who sustains us not only for time, but for eternity. That's why He said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." And so to ignore the signs that point to Jesus as the very source of life, as many of the people in His day did, is unfortunate, if not tragic. You know, we continue then to seek something else that satisfies us, and we realize that nothing can. "Do not work for food that perishes," Jesus said. Now, that seems contrary. Don't we work for daily bread? And God has ordained that. But don't work, Jesus would say, as if you could somehow accumulate enough bread or make enough money or achieve enough power to satisfy the deep needs of your soul to give you eternal life. The things of this world are temporary at best. You know, an interesting commentary on that is offered by the experience that the Israelites had when they were wandering around in the desert. If you remember, God had commanded them to gather up the manna in the morning just as much as they needed. But some in the group didn't listen to Moses, and so they gathered more than what God had commanded. They saved part of the manna overnight, but the next day it was filled with worms and became foul. You see, nothing in this world can endure to eternal life. And just like manna, anything that we achieve or possess can rust or be swept away. I think Jesus is speaking very much to our society today that is sort of bloated with overindulgence in potato chips and cheesy curls and curly fries and candy and soda pop. And some of you know I'm trying to go on a little diet, and I went to a party last night, and what do they serve? But, you know, nacho chips with cheese, you know, melted cheese and all kinds of bad stuff that aren't good for one's diet, right? That's why Jesus compares our deepest need to hunger and thirst. And perhaps it's, you know, it may not mean so much to us, unfortunately, those terms of hunger and thirst. I think we use those words often when we really mean that all we need is an afternoon pick-me-up, maybe a treat, or that we got to stop by Starbucks for a coffee or a latte or something. But to those people who have truly been thirsty, who have truly been hungry, these words have a greater meaning. They mean everything. There are no worse human pains than the pangs of true hunger and true thirst. The craving for food and drink are probably two of the most powerful and natural appetites that we have. If you remember, that's what was going on in Jesus' temptation by Satan in the wilderness. We're told he'd had nothing to eat for 40 days, and at the end of that time, he was hungry. And it was not a momentary craving for a snack that Jesus needed. He was hungry for real food. And in that time of extreme hunger, Satan tried to break the weakened Savior and undermine the kingdom of God. When Satan sarcastically dared him to turn stones into bread, Jesus said, "Man does not live by bread alone." We're challenged in the same way today. Satan comes to us to tempt us when he suspects we are at our weakness. And he works hard to make us believe that there can be physical satisfaction to our spiritual needs. But Jesus knows that he is the bread of life, and he passes that on to us. There are physical needs, and there are spiritual needs, and one cannot satisfy the hunger of the other. Someone gave me a life principle that I like to pass on to you, and that is, never make life decisions based on physical hunger or thirst. For 36 years, Dan Hewitt was the king of one of television's most powerful news shows. He was the creator and the executive director and made the final decision on what went on the air on the long-running television program 60 Minutes. Don Hewitt could make or break a reputation by what he allowed simply to go on the air. And that famous 60-second clock still ticks. And it ticked on for Don Hewitt for 16 years beyond what most Americans consider retirement. And with a wall full of trophies at 81 years of age, with honors of every kind, letters and pictures personally signed by dozens of celebrities, world leaders, every president from Dwight Eisenhower to George W. Bush, a shelf lined with a constellation of Emmys, Don Hewitt would not be satisfied with four decades of power and accolades. At his own admission, he felt empty, and he fell into a deep depression when he left his position. "Where do I go now?" he asked. "What do I do now to feed my soul?" You know, people today are still searching for God, even though it seems some days like there's fewer and fewer. But regardless, searching for God is fruitless. It's fruitless to search for some overwhelming proof that God is God and that what God says is true. It's fruitless to search for proof that Jesus is the only way to God. The people asked Jesus, "What sign are you going to give us so that we may believe in you?" They had ignored the signs that were there. They were looking for something conclusive. It's kind of like the agnostic who challenged God to strike him dead on the spot, as if God is obliged to do the bidding of his creatures. The search is fruitless. To demand that Jesus appear in the flesh or that he meet our wants according to our dictates ignores some obvious signs. After breakfast one Sunday morning, a little girl said to her mother, "I can hardly wait to go back to Sunday school to see Jesus again today." "Oh, well, what does Jesus look like?" her mother asked. "Oh, she has white hair," answered the little girl. "And she wears glasses and a pretty dress with colored flowers." The signs are here. Jesus is present in the lives of his followers. To ignore the signs is to search fruitlessly. in West Germany before the Berlin Wall came down, there was said to be a long bridge over a beautiful river called Suicide Bridge. An average of 17 people a month threw themselves off that bridge. Why would that be? Was it because West Germany was desperate for food? Was it because they had no education? Was it because of substandard medical treatment or any other material lack? No, West Germany was one of the great success stories of post-World War II. But their lives were empty, and they threw them away. You know, the Bible tells us a lot of stories about what God did a long time ago. And you can pay the travel agent, and you can visit the spots, and you can see what God did once upon a time. Or you can take an even more amazing trip without ever leaving home. It's a journey that begins when you say, "The God who did a lot of things in the past is giving me life in Jesus Christ." I mean, you can go down to the Red Sea and stand there and imagine and remember that God split the water and brought the people out of slavery, or you can look around and see where God is bringing people out of slavery to alcoholism, to freeing the oppressed, to lifting up those who were once beaten down. You can rent a camel and ride up Mount Sinai and look at that big rock and say, "Wow, one time this mountain was on fire and there was smoke and God spoke and people received the Ten Commandments. It was really impressive." Or you can look around and see people worshiping and reading their Bible and studying their Bible and listening to God's Word and paying attention to the Scriptures and finding direction and purpose for their lives. Everything we need to flourish in life, everything, is given to us. And it's hard to keep that in view because no sooner do we understand it and maybe it goes out of focus. Sometimes we think that we should be out there earning it. Like they said to Jesus, "What kind of work should we be doing? Tell us about the works of God and we'll do them. Sign us up for the mission trip. Tell us where we should take a casserole to the hungry. Let us know if we can buy food for a migrant worker. Give us something to do so that we can have the assurance that we are earning our way. Give us some paint and we'll make a big sign that says we'll work for food." Jesus says to them and to us, this is God's accomplishment. This is all God's gift. And the gift is that you come to believe in the one whom God has sent. And so we pray that rather than grow weary and cynical when we hear what God used to do, maybe we can stay awake enough to see what God is doing right here, right now, down the street, somewhere else in our neighborhood. You know, the God who gave has become the God who gives. That's why Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The problem for those to whom life seems not worth living is that nothing but Jesus Christ can satisfy. To feed on bread and not on Christ, who is the living bread, is to search in vain for satisfaction. And so to us, to others, to the Don Hewitts of this world, Jesus comes and says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will not hunger, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Jesus wants to touch our lives in a way that permanently and completely fills our deepest needs, so that the enjoyment of new life in Him is the only happiness and the ultimate. You know, the enjoyment of new life in Jesus Christ is really the substance of true satisfaction. Everything else, someone said, is like a raindrop in the middle of the ocean. That's why today I urge you to run to him, find him, and then, only then, are you going to be truly satisfied. For Jesus does satisfy our deepest hunger and thirst. And his bread for our souls and his drink for our souls are promised as eternal sustenance. But finally, before we can experience this supernatural and spiritual nutrition that he offers us, we must trust him completely and believe in his presence in our lives. And that will make us complete. And when we do, we choose to love him and live in his presence. And then we believe that when he says that once we are connected with him, he will hold on to us and never let us go. Let us pray. Gracious Father, you fed the children of Israel in the wilderness with manna. And you fed the 5,000 on the side of the hill with bread and fish. And you continue to feed us everything that we need for body and soul. But give us hearts that seek to be satisfied not with physical things, but with the true things of life. That our hearts believe in you and be filled with those things that lead to eternal life. And so we ask you to satisfy those deep spiritual needs that come through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, for us. So bless us today and fill us with that joy. We ask that all in Jesus' name. Amen.